Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
घर से डोला चला लाडली का क्या क्या नजारा है ये जिंदगी का घर से डोला चला लाडली का क्या क्या नजारा है ये जिंदगी का कितने नाजों से पाला था हमने हर तरह से संभाला था हमने हाय हमसे जुदा हो रही है हाय हमसे जुदा हो
عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم Wednesday morning It's time for the bliss of marriage My name Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia And it's cold It's brrrr To all of my beloved wonderful listeners Who's tuning in and listening to me right now On Markaz Sahaba The voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. I want to welcome the listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal and Hafiz Yusuf Asmal and company. It's a beautiful Wednesday morning. Remember, every Wednesday is between 11 to 12. It's the bliss of marriage. The 20th of Shawwal, 1442, which is also the 2nd of June. I like the way my beloved Ustad said this morning, June, July, Kabina Bulai. Let's welcome our beloved engineer, Brother Bonface, and of course, 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. Ustad, it's a beautiful Wednesday morning, cold. Let's welcome you into the show. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakallahu khairan.
We start with Kronstadt, Ustad. A listener says, Mufti Saab, I think you know my family quite well. Please, Mufti Saab, I am married for 20 years now, and every day I must hear how bad my mother is. Don't wives ever get used to their mother-in-laws? Ustad Anonymous from Kronstadt.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem amma ba'd all praise is due to Almighty Allah the sustainer nourisher and cherisher of the universe peace blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Alhamdulillah today the 20th of Shawwal we continue with the program The Bliss of Marriage and welcome the listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Here there are three issues. One is, what are the rights of the husband? Two, what are the rights of the wife? Three, what are the rights of the in-laws? The husband's rights are that you have to fulfill for your wife. So you have to provide for her roti, kapra, makan. That you have to provide for her shelter, food, clothing, and all Almighty Allah commands me, you, and every husband. This is compulsory, non-negotiable. وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ Treat your wives with love, with respect and justice. That you went to propose to her, you married her, and now after 10, 20, 30 years, you can't be throwing all that back in her face and so forth. So all that what the husband is doing, that picking on the wife or on the family, all that is totally haram. The barometer in Islam is not what people say how you are, is what your wife and children say how you are. And Siddiqatu bintu Siddiq, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala and reports, authentic hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, khayrukum khayrukum li ahalikum, that the best of you are the best of you to your wives and children, wa ana khayrukum li ahalikum, I am the best of you to my wives and my children. That is what Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. What are your rights? You as the wife, you have to cement your relationship with your husband. You have to be loyal to him. You cannot allow any strange man in your house. You need to look after the children, make their tarbiyat, including the husband must also help. So these are things, and then the love, respect, all that are mutual rights. Then come the rights of the in-laws and so forth. Remember in Islam, kama tadinu tudan, inna dayyan la yamut. Allah is dayyan. Dayyan means Allah is the most just, and He Almighty Allah is ever living. He was, He is, He always will be. He is the sole Khalik and the Creator. Death is for creation, me and you. Everybody, everything shall experience death. Kullu nafsin dhaiqatul maut. Then the usul, I command the dinu tudan, that as you treat others, you will be treated like that. So if you, the husband, keep on picking on your wife, on her mother, your mother-in-law, then she will not feel like doing anything for your mother as well. It is something natural. And if you, the daughter-in-law, keep on picking on your mother-in-law, then you must remember you're souring your relationship with your husband as well. So both of you, don't behave like small children. You'll need to grow up. Khidmat se khuda milta hai. Easy. Meaning, you, the daughter-in-law, go the extra mile. Do things for the pleasure of Allah, for your mother-in-law. That will soften the heart of the husband, and you will cement your relationship. You, the husband, you must speak about the positive of your mother-in-law and not the negative, and then you will win your wife over and you will win her heart over as well. Otherwise, you're just going to throw stones at one another, and that marriage will last, but it will be a sour marriage. Remember that marriage is a bed of roses, but both of you need to play your path. Now, how are you going to do that? Today it's Wednesday, after Zohar, 1:30, 1:45, 2:00, then lunchtime or whatever. So both of you make dua together. Both of you start ta'aleem and read Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. Surah chapter 25 verse 74. O Almighty Allah, grant us such spouses and children that are the coolness of the eyes. Read the 99 beautiful names of Allah, chapter 7 verse 180. Walillahi al-asma'ul husna fad'uhu biha. And in there Allah is commanding us, invoke the names of Allah. Read Ya Wadudu, Ya Wadud. Take Riyadu Salihin of Allama Nawawi rahimahullah. Take the fazail works of Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Shaykhul Hadith. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Shaykhul Hadith Nawwarallahu Marqadahu's works, the fazail. Start reading, then inshallah both of you will become much more tolerant to one another. Like this, it will be an implosion. Gar ko aag lag gayi gar ki chirag se. You both are going to cause harm to yourself, and that is self-destruction. Allah protect us.
So Ustaz, can we still make intention for the sunnat fast in the month of Shawwal, and can we still get married and make nikah in this month, Ustaz?
100%. You must remember that today is only the 20th year in South Africa. And if you go to Makkah Mukarramah, Medina Munawwara, Majlul Aqsa Mubarak, it is the 21st. So you still have 7, 8, 9 days left, depending which calendar you want to follow. So today is Wednesday. You want to start fasting from tomorrow, Thursday, and you keep the fast, mashallah. So only next week, Friday, Saturday, the new month will start, depending the moon and all that stories. So you got enough days to keep all six fast, no problem. However, remember the big proviso and condition that you kept all your qada fast of Ramadan. First, you must keep the qada, then you worry about the nafil and sunnah fast. So if you got 5-6 qada, first keep that. And then if there's time left, you keep the shawwal fast. And if there's no time, then you don't worry about the shawwal. Allah will not question us regarding the shawwal fast. Allah will definitely question us regarding the compulsory salat, the 5 daily prayers, and the siyam Ramadan, the fasting of Ramadan. And you know the hadith is mentioned in Sahih Muslim. Man sama Ramadan, whosoever kept the fast of Ramadan, all the fast, 29-30, thumma adba'ahu sittam min shawwal, thereafter after you followed it up with the sixth fast of Shawwal, kana kasiyam iddahar, is like the person kept fast the whole year. So the reward is great, but we must keep all the fast, and it is qadha, the qadha must be kept. Similarly, you want to get married, mashallah, on Fridays, our Mohana Arafat. Here's a program between 10 and 10:30 in the morning, and that is where they announce the nikah. Last week, I think Mohana had 8 or 9 or 10 nikahs to announce. Very good. So all of you send your nikah announcements to Mawlana, and inshallah, whether you're getting married this Friday, this Saturday, this Sunday, whenever, and it will be the last Sunday of Shawwal this week, yeah? So you must remember what you should do is this, that practice on the hadith. Again, our mother Siddiqatus bint Siddiq, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, reported 2,210 ahadith. She passed away in the year 57 day in Medina Munawwara. She is the greatest sheikha al-hadith, female scholar of hadith. And her salatul janaza was performed by the greatest sheikhul hadith. That is Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, 5,374 ahadith. Imagine the greatest sheikhul hadith of this ummah performing the salatul janaza of the greatest sheikha al-hadith. And that is Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. So these are honorable people. Remember that. You will never find people like that again. They're the greatest people of this ummah and the greatest to walk on this earth after all the prophets and messengers alayhi salam. That are the sahaba radiallahu anhum. So she states hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, inna nabiyya sallallahu alayhi sallam tazawwaja bi fi shawwal. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi sallam nikah with me took place in shawwal. She had no children. She would encourage her family members, get married in Shawwal, get married in Shawwal. Every have this belief, oh listener, Sirius FM, Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that every sunnah of Habibuna sallallahu alayhi sallam is khayrun min ad-dunya wa ma fiha, better than this world and whatever it contains. Surah chapter 3 verse 31, fattabi'uni, follow me, Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi sallam, immaculately. Yuhbibkumullah, you become the beloved of Almighty Allah. Wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum. Yes, we are human beings. We have shortcomings, weaknesses. We are sinners. We are transgressors. Allah will forgive you your sins. It's a win-win situation.
Ustaz, just on that point, before we go for the next question on our bliss of marriage, brother wants to know what happens if you are fasting for the 6 days, but he started on maybe say it's 4 days left, and he never realized it's 4 days left, and he started fasting for the six. So what happened to other 2 days who started?
So now that is not necessary, because now it's only 20th today or 21st if you take Makkah. So now you still got enough days, so don't ask that question, because now you know you got 8-9 days still left. So I mean that question becomes redundant then. So therefore you still got the days there. So keep the fast, provided that you kept all the fast of Ramadan as well.
We have 7 kids, dear Mufti Sahab. My husband lost his job after 25 years. I am from Lakefield. Can we send our kids out to work and live off their income? Anonymous sister, Ustad.
You must not send your kids out of the house. Yes, you are in Lakefield. If you send your sons out, that they must go and work in Benoni, Boksburg, Johannesburg, all those areas. In the morning they go, evening they come back. Very good. So they're sitting on their laurels and thinking of Hadi. That is exactly what Islam says, that the father is only responsible for the sons to the age of 17, 18, and after that is not responsible. They must go. My father sent me overseas when I was 17 or so. You must remember, he was just doing me a favor. It's not something obligatory, mandatory upon him. So therefore, we can't forget their ihsan and favor upon us, our beloved parents and so forth. So 100%. But your daughters, you must keep them at home. No going to work here and work there. That is the onus, responsibility on the father. From the time of the birth till time of marriage, that he is responsible. After marriage, the husband is responsible for the wife till death. But your sons who are 18, 20, 22, each one of them must go, and the father can rest a little bit and do some work online. Today, the whole world is going online. So how much work you can do from home and so forth. You know how much work I push through from here. You must remember that. So every day, more than 100 fatwas, 100 questions come. That is minimum. So you must remember. All this is Allah's fadl, Allah's grace. Sayyid bin Musayyab, rahimahullah, Sayyidu Tabi'een, one of the greatest Tabi'een successors who met the beloved Sahaba. He used to walk around the gullies, alleys of Medina Munawwara for bakais to cry. People asked him, "Oh Sayyid, you are such a great waliullah, Tabi'i. Why?" He said, "Nobody is coming to ask me questions. They would love to share the knowledge." You must remember these things here. So therefore, sit at home, O Abba, O Abi, and from there, start doing work. You must remember that you got 25 years experience, so you know the loopholes, you know all the ropes and everything, so you know how to do things. But get your sons, that the problem with us, we spoil our sons too much. Therefore, they get everything on the plate, you must remember. We must show them a little bit how it is to earn that 1,000 rand, 500 rand, so then they will learn to appreciate it when they grow up and become husbands and parents and so forth.
Allahu Akbar. Sister says, Jazakumullah khairan, Mufti Sahab. She says only that the children say that it's very hard to get a job in today's time. So that's why they don't want to go out and work. Ustad.
No, that is being negative. You are just looking for a convenient excuse. You know, agar tu hi na chahe to bahane hazar hai. So what is so difficult to go and work? You must remember that. They want the posh offers. They want the secretary. They want the PA. They want all the perks. It don't work like that in life. You see, last year it was, not last year, 2020 or 2019 it was. Yeah. So the Alum Newcastle, you know, that they had a reunion and I had to go there as a guest speaker and all these things here. So it was live on air also on Markaz Sahaba. So I saw a lot of students, you know, from here, there, some of them from overseas, from Cape Town and here and there, and students came in from UK and Sri Lanka and here and there, the neighboring countries. So I said, let me give you a bit of my history. 1980 December, I came to Darlum, Newcastle, first time in my life. I landed here in South Africa on the 2nd of November. Myself and my wife, we performed Hajj from Karachi. We came and then we landed here. So I told my wife, November, December, we make holiday, meet the family, all that, and then January we'll start. But always in the back of my mind, I hate it. I don't want to do imamat. I don't want to teach children. I must get in and get in some Darulum, you know. So when I met Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Sema Rahimahullah, first time in my life, I don't know who's Maulana, nothing. But prior to that, let me tell you one very interesting anecdote. Our Honorable Ustad, Hazrat Mawlana Aziz Ahmed Rahimahullah, so he taught all great, great ulama of South Africa. One day I was reading something about Mawlana Aturani, the old man, Mawlana Ahmed Aturani, Rahimahullah. We are connected now with family, marriage and all that. Anyway, so I see that his teacher also is Mawlana Aziz Ahmed, you know, and this type. I got a shock. So this thing. So anyway, so 79, 80, I'm studying by Hazrat. One day while teaching, this is from Allah's side. So my name, he said, I should sit next to him. Because half the student shouldn't come because he shouldn't take register. He was 90 years old, 92 years old. So at that age, he's teaching. We, his last batch, after that retired, finished. So whilst teaching, he told me like this, Maulvi Abdul Qadir Afriki, Afrika jaakar kya karoge? Maulvi Abdul Qadir Afriki, they should call me that, from Africa. Afriki, what you gonna do in Africa when you go? So I responded, Hazrat, ke waha ek darloom hai Newcastle mein, aur suna hai ke muhtamim sahab Maulana Qasim Sema hai. I don't know where's Newcastle, I don't know where's my darloom, I don't know where's Maulana Qasim Sema, I never met. He said, acha, wo to mere shagird hai, Maulana is my student. Now imagine Maulana left South Africa, Newcastle in 1935. He came back at the end of 44, like you see. So anyway, beginning 44 and so forth. Anyway, so the point, 9-10 years he was gone. He never came back in that airtime. He went and then came back. 42 he came back, then that SS Tilawas was torpedoed and all that, the ship story. Nevertheless, so When I was coming home, going for Hajj, I told Hazrat, please write a letter to Maulana Qasim Sema Rahimahullah. He said, Zarur. What he wrote till today, I don't know. They all passed away now, obviously. So, when I met Maulana Qasim Sema in 1980, and I told him I studied here, there, and all that, Maulana was not impressed at all. I'm telling the students my story. He was not impressed at all. So he said, okay, this, that. So I told him, Hazrat, I want to teach. He said, but yeah, vacancy. We spoke Urdu. Yeah, jagah nahi, no vacancy. Now I'm shattered, you know. Then I took out my trump card, you know. So I took out that letter of Hazrat. Now Hazrat Maulana Aziz Ahmed, Rahimahullah now, so gave his ustad and my ustad. So I gave that letter. Till now, obviously, it was sealed and everything. But must be Hazrat wrote something very good. So he said, Acha, you studied by Hazrat. Hazrat is still alive. Maulana was astonished and he's still teaching. I said, yes, we the last page finished now. Then Maulana changed the whole tune, you see. He said, no. Now we'll have to make mashura regarding you. Because Hazrat wrote all this, you understand? And that. So I was very good. At least now I got some hope. Then I went to Durban with my brother-in-law, all that. I remember very well that Monday, Tuesday, you understand, in January 81, the madrasa was opening. That Saturday afternoon, I went somewhere. My late father now, he's also parahimahullah. He told me, that time, olden days, they used to call him Maulana Molvisap. You know Molvisap? So I came back. He said, there's Molvisap. He phoned and he said, you must contact him. So it was Saturday afternoon. So I knew it's Mosema because the number. So 03431, you know, number Newcastle. So I phoned. Maulana said, TK, we made Mashura last night, there's that. And very good references we're getting, all that. So you must come. But one condition. So I'm wondering, he said, well, just come alone and you don't bring your wife and that because, yeah, no houses here. Isco, you know, the house, a big problem here with house shortage and that. So I went alone and everything, you know. So we sat in the office, I still remember. So Maulana told me this and that. Then I stood up, you see. Then Maulana called me, said, no, but I didn't tell you the wages. So to me, it didn't matter anything, you understand? Well, Allah tell me witness. So then Maulana told me, hum aapko teen sore, we should speak Urdu, right till the end. So the 20 years right through was Urdu. So he said, teen sore nam denge, we'll give you 300 rand, you know. So I said, Boracha, like you understand, very happy I was. So I'm trying to tell the students, don't worry about the wages, you must show what khidmat you can do, and then see how Allah Ta'ala will open doors for you and this type of things. Yeah? So that's how you start. Now the youngsters of today, that they want to reach the chairman and become the big shot from the start. You have to start from the ground, my brother, and then show and prove your worth and this type of things. Then you will come up in life. Allah. You want to start with 20, 30, 40,000 rand wages plus perks. It's not going to happen. You must be prepared to wash cars. You must be prepared to do all these kind of things. Go become a man and this type of things. And say, I won't become a burden on somebody. That is what Islam is teaching us. So understand these things here.
I see the sister says, my elder son is listening to you, Mufti Saab. He will be getting married soon to a very rich, wealthy girl who started.
But brother, if you get married to that wealthy girl in wealthy family because you think you're going to sponge off of them. I don't know you, I don't know them. But Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if that is your intention, فَإِنَّمَا أَذَلَّهُ اللَّهُ, Allah will disgrace you and humiliate you. So my advice that you stand on your own feet. I told you my story so many times. You understood? That my mother, Allah give genital fitness. She said, marry this one. I say, mommy, what you talking? I can't even afford one bangle for her. You understood? I want poor, poor girls, so nobody must sit on my head. You
Allah,
see? So always you must remember, JC niyat, JC barkat. Always remember that. I see. You keep your niyat very clear.
Maulana Abdul Khaliq from Cape Town says, Mufti Saab, we're listening to you. I think you forgot me. I am the first graduation of Darul Uloom Newcastle. Subhanallah, Ustad.
So I know in Darul Uloom Newcastle, there were 7 students who I started, Mohsema started in Darul Uloom in 73. And 81, January, I started teaching. And the first year, I taught Hifz, but I used to teach part-time kitabs. 82, I was teaching. And 83, we had meeting, and I started teaching final year. So there were 7 students. There was no Abdul Khaliq day in 83 for graduating. So I can still give you 4 of them passed away. Mohana Saliji passed away in Sazda. Mohana Azim Hunter passed away. Mohana Yunus Roda passed away. And now Mohana Ismail Ali passed away. The three that are alive is Ahmed Davids and is Casper, and then there's one more, Junaid Adam. Hmm. So there's no Abdul Khaliq there. So I don't know which course you're talking about. Maybe you did some other course, but the Alim course, there were seven and I took their names there. So remember, four already passed away, three are alive. Anyway, if you studied there, mashallah, very good. Allah use you for his khidmat and deen, mashallah.
Mashallah, subhanallah. He says, make dua. I think he says now, Ustad, that it was after you left Ustad. Somebody says, your Ustad, that my wife and I are like chalk and cheese, dear Honorable Mufti Saab. We can't see eye to eye. I'm really serious. We can't see eye to eye, Mufti Saab. We are just married because of our kids. Maulana, Mufti Saab, is this marriage valid? Anonymous Ustad.
You see, when you come and you are married, now minimum you are married 5 years, 10 years, 12, 15 years. Because you see, you got kids, so the minimum will be 5 years or so, right? So now ask yourself, but why can't you see eye to eye? Why you as a husband can't see eye to eye with your wife? You know why? Because you, husband, you brought the slogan of shaitan in your heart, in your mind. You're saying, Ana khayru min, I'm better than her. She must do everything my way or she must catch the highway. And you, wife, you also can't keep your mouth shut and keep quiet. So when he says 3, you will say 5. And when he say 8, you will say 10. Just keep quiet for a little while and then things will sort out. But the husband also can't keep his mouth shut. The wife can't keep her mouth shut. Both want to speak. Both want to be dominant. Both want to be the chief. So that's why you have landed up yourself in this. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, Imam Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah, married 40 years. He's giving his students advice. He says, between me and my wife, not one day argument. Subhanallah. How come no argument, Imam? He says, when I used to tell her something, she don't like it, she just keep quiet. Allah. She will not come and respond us and make it, no, me, two business. And when she says something, but she knows I don't like it, but I just keep quiet. So why you don't try that? But you both, no, I must speak, I must put my two. Just keep quiet, finish. Then you will see and cry to Allah. Speak to Allah. Ya Allah, this is my husband. Ya Allah, this is my wife. Ya Allah, we have these wonderful flowers. We have these wonderful children. So that is how you change a negative into a positive. Now you say, no, I don't want this wife. She say, I don't want you. You're good for nothing. And they say, why are we staying for the children? The both of you become negative. So what you expect? I don't know you, but I can tell you this much. I'm a teacher for 40 years now with Allah's help. That your children are negatively impacted by your people's behavior. Why? Because whole day you're fighting, arguing in front of the children. So when the children lack that confidence, when the children lack, you must remember that they see our house is always, there's a civil war going on here. Husband is saying this, wife is saying this, mommy is saying this, daddy, you're going for one another. So they lose respect for you, and remember their own iman, their own self-confidence gets shattered also. You must be the one to build up their confidence. You must be the one to tell them you can challenge the world, you can take them on. So you must be the example for them. So that's where the parents fail and shirk their responsibility. So both of you are guilty.
I see the brother says, just a serious question, Mufti Saab. Did my wife contact you? Because that's exactly the same reasons happening in our house, Mufti Saab.
Nobody contacts me, brother. When they start these stories, these things here, I just read the email, first paragraph. I say, if it's all this marriage story, I say, you know what? Contact your local ulama, go to your own ulama, and that both parties must be present. So if the woman start, I ask them, is marriage problem? They say, yes. I said, you know what? They just contact your local ulama. So we don't have time for these things here, that I must sit and listen to stories. I don't know. But common sense, and Allah obviously helps us all the way. I mean, so you must remember. But you're not being fair to yourself. You're not being fair to your spouse. You're not being fair to your children. Think about it positively, productively. You are causing self-destruction, my brother. Change your ways. Go to your wife now. She's there. Go and embrace her and say, darling, poppy, sweetheart, me, I ask you for maaf. that you turn things around. When the children come, they see father, mother smiling this day, they see what happened, they had enough popcorn today or what. You understood? So you all must change the things around. We can only advise you. You must remember that.
I see a student of Deen from Falsara says, I knew Marhum Walana Nazim Hunter. And the student of Deen says, but Mufti Sahib, answer us one question. How come Mufti Sahib is not rich? And how come Abu Fatima also is not rich? Mufti Sahib, you are a Mammon. Until now, I see you don't have no wealth in you. How come? Ustad, student of Deen from Falsara.
You saw my bank balance. So you must remember these things here. Yeah? So Allah Ta'ala made me the richest in my family. So that's my answer to you. Understood? My nephews, my nieces, they all still tell me, from where you get all the money to fly here and there? You all understood? I'm the richest in my family, my brother. You must remember that. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. I don't chase. Allah Ta'ala sends it. You must buy the cow and the milk will come. Make effort for deen. Allah will give you dunya. Remember that. So my brother, that about the Mammon story and all that, my own family, one day I met one teacher of mine, school, non-Muslim. He tell me, there's one nickname they should keep for me. Leave that nickname out. Okay. Let's just say AK. So then, AK, what you doing? I said, no, I'm teaching, you know, Islam, this, that. He said, but you were such a clever guy in school. Why you didn't become a doctor and all that? You see the kuffar mentality.
Allah.
You see? So we mustn't think like that. See, now I meet the guys who studied with me. They say, see where you are and where we are. So brother, is all nothing to do with us. Three things, four things in life is always Allah's fadl, Allah's grace, Allah's mercy, hada min fadl, barakat and wasila of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then two more things. You must, O son, O daughter, you must take the dua of your parents. If you don't take the dua of your parents, you won't make it. I'm telling you that. And that is what's happening. This whole secular system, this whole capitalistic system, this whole satanic democratic system is there to break the family ties. You must remember that. So they want, when they speak of a one world order, that's what they mean. They mean there must be no religion. They mean there must be one government. They mean there must be one capital. They mean there must be one currency. They mean that religion, just put one side there. You do in your house. So that is what we have to change. We must say no, that the unit, the family unit is most important. And we have to take the du'as of our teachers. But today, if the son becomes Hafiz, you ask the ustad, when last this youngster met you? Now in PE, one youngster told one person, he studied with me. He said, I taught his class 25 years here. And then they told me to go. See, so all these type of things happen. So you must remember this. You must keep ties with your parents, with your teachers, and so forth. And obviously Allah's mercy, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's du'as, then you will go far in life. Allah will give you so much that you can't even acknowledge. So remember, so one day we will talk about all this. Things, my brother.
Please do, Ustaz, mashallah. I see Bart says, I like the way you say, get the cow and then you'll see the milk, inshallah. Subhanallah, Ustaz. Mufti Sahib, my husband's sister doesn't worry about her husband, but she keeps on calling my husband because my husband has money. What can I do and pray? Anonymous Ustad.
So first and foremost, you and your husband, you have to cement your relationship. And second thing, you must tell your husband, that lady there who's contacting your husband and so forth, that she's a total ajnabiya, a total stranger. She got no business to be contacting your husband. And your husband must not accommodate her. He must just cut her short. So you must remember that. So she's going to soften him up. And then slowly, slowly, he also will start saying, yeah, she's a bichari, that her husband don't want to give her. Never mind, I got zakat or lillah, I'll give her. That's how the shaitan operates. Remember that. They first soften you up. An-nisa yuhaba, an-nisa wuhaba ilu shaitan. Remember the woman. You know, you go fishing, you go with a net. So the shaitan, he loves to use the woman. Remember that. They'll soften you up and all. So what will happen is, we must read the du'as. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min fitnatin nisa. Ya Allah, I seek from you protection, the fitna of the women, because women get aurat aur daulat ne ummat ko tabah kar diya. A woman, women, W-O-M-E-N, and money can destroy people and nations. You must remember that. And that is what the enemies use, because they know our weaknesses. So that is what we need to be extremely careful. So you and your, tell your husband he's guilty, he must not listen to her at all. She must not be speaking to her, and tell that lady there, in future, she must not contact your husband at all. She got nothing to do with your husband. So put your foot down, never mind 2-3 days she will pull her face, tell her to take some panado, and everything will be alright.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. I see somebody says here, Mufti Sahab, you are really touching the right spots today. May Allah Ta'ala bless you and give you another 50 healthy years, inshallah. Mufti Sahab, I'm moving to a new house with my family. What du'as must I read? And what must I do for barakah and love and barakah between me and my family, Ustad?
So 3 things I have to say before I respond. You say, I'm touching the right points today. It means the other programs, I was not touching the right spots. Then you say, I must live for another 50 years. It means I'll hit a century then. You understood? You'll go over that. So that, you know, you mustn't ask that kind of dua. You must say, Allah Ta'ala keep us alive with siha, afia. And this morning I made dua also. Allah, the other day I walking out of the masjid, that person told me, please teach me the dua. I say, hey, me, I got program here. Come around, walk with me. So after Zohar, I come here for tafsir. So I told him, walk with me. I give you the dua. So I taught him the dua quickly. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-haram. Oh Allah, I seek your protection from muhtaji. Remember that. Now you live for 110, 120, 130 years, what we will be? We'll finish with. So you mustn't make that kind of dua. You must make dua, Allah keep us with siha, afia, iman, Islam, and not a burden to anybody. And Allah take us with iman. Right, now your question. Today is which day, sister? Wednesday. So this morning I spoke of it in a masjid. So I said, see, our mother Siddiqatu bintu Siddiq, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, states that when you want to do something, start something, you must start on a Wednesday. And if you want to reference, you the students and ulama and so forth, go all open Al-Maqasidul Hasana by Allama Sakhawi. Go look for it and tell me where you found it. So it's right in the ending. So now sometimes students tell me, we look, we can't find. It's right in the ending. So remember that, and it's sahih, that remember that, that is the sunnat, everything is very good. So remember that she used to say even nikah also, that get married on Wednesday, very good. And if you go to our, the great giants of this ummah, you know Hidayah is a famous work of the Hanafi school. So Allama Marghinani from Uzbekistan, when he used to start teaching, the academic year will start, they would start on a Wednesday. Our ulama, our ustads, our sheikh Hazrat Mufti, Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib, Grand Mufti of Pakistan. So remember that we studied there. Wednesday, the Darulum used to open in those days. And in the 70s and that. So 60s, 50s, it started the Darulum. So you must remember, you go to Jalalabad, Hazrat Muhammad Masihullah Khan Sahib. Now we don't know, but I'm speaking of those days. Wednesday, the Madrasa Miftahul Ulum used to start. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib passed away in 76. And Hazrat passed away in 92. So remember that to start something on Wednesday is very good. So after Zohar, you make dua, you move in, excellent. Or you move in on a Friday, excellent. So any day, sister, brother, you can move in, but best days to move in will be on a Wednesday or on a Friday. What must you read? You don't have to call people and all that. You yourself, you read. What you going to read, Ben? My mother, my sister, read Surah Baqarah. Hadith Sahih, authentic hadith. In Sahih Muslim, Iqra Surah Al-Baqarah. Read Surah 2, Surah Baqarah. For in أَخَذَهَا baraka, it will bring baraka in you. I know tomorrow I'm going to pick up my new car. I know tomorrow I'm going to start this. Today I started something, but I won't tell you that something happened yesterday in my life. Something came from overseas, you know. One brother did me a big favor. So I told Junaid Mota is our big engineer here, you know. He connects everything and all that. Okay, come, I tell you. So one friend of mine from UK, he sent to me the big radio that can catch over a million, I don't know, 1,000 stations. You understood? So this type of thing. So it came yesterday. So I told Junaid, today is Wednesday, connect this whole thing up so I can listen to this one, because we don't want all TV shaitan. We want to listen to all the different news. Speaking of news, I'll tell you just now after the break. So fa inna akhadaha baraka. So you must remember when you read Surah Baqarah, then you will be able to get barakah, what blessing. Watarakaha hasra, and you don't read Surah Baqarah, then there's remorse and regret. Wala yastati'u al-batala. Brother, sister, I don't know you, but everybody is not your well-wisher. You're moving into your new house, your new shop, your new premises. The people will come, tip of the tongue, mashallah, mashallah, but the heart is burning, you know, the rage and that. So evil forces will not overcome you. So Allah will give the makan, the house, the dwelling, and Allah will give the makin, the people who stay in the house, lot of barakah. Then you read Surah Yasin, all that, inshallah. So move in today, move in Friday, any day that suits you, inshallah.
14 minutes to 12 o'clock, you are tuning in, listening to the bliss of marriage on this beautiful, mashallah, Wednesday morning. Somebody sent a message, Ustaz. The sister says, is this true, Mufti Sahab? When Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal's wife passed away, he said, wallahi, I lived with her for 40 years and we didn't argue once. He was asked how. He replied, whenever she gets upset and tries to argue, I stay quiet. And whenever I'm upset and try to argue, she stays quiet. Is this true, Ustaz?
100%. You must remember, do you know who's Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal? Imam, I sent it out the other day on all the groups to teach a lesson to our brothers and sisters that if you're going to continue arguing, see Sayyidina Ali and Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu anha. Who in the world today can reach their rank? Nobody. Thus, I'm telling you, it's in Sahih Muslim. Habibuna rahmatulil alameen sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes to the house of Sayyidah Fatima radiallahu anha, the beloved Ladli, the beloved child, daughter of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ayna Ali, where's Ayna Ali? See how intelligent Sayyidah Fatima was. If it was our Fatima, our daughters, our daughter-in-law, she will add the history, geography, everything, and make masala also, add spice also. She said, no, baini wa baina ushe, something happened. So, meaning, she cut everything very short. So, okay, but where is he? He's gone to masjid. See, so instead of going further with the argument, he went and sat in a masjid, made salat, whatever, then he was sleeping. Mustafa, rahmatulil alameen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was, is, will always be the most beloved, the most precious to Allah, jalla wala, in the entire universe. But here the master, alayhi salam, is not going only as a messenger of Allah, but going as a father-in-law. And what does he see? Sayyidina Ali is there in the masjid, and he fell asleep, and there's some dust on his body, on his clothing. Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam bi yadayhi ash-sharifatayn, with his own mubarak hands, removed the speck of dust from the clothing, from the body of Sayyidina Ali. Qum ya Aba Turab, stand up, O father of the saint. So when the father-in-law is going to praise the son-in-law like that, whatever little bit argument, everything is forgotten, finished. He says, my kunya, kunya means Mawlana Arafat, son's name Ubaidullah, his son's name Aqil. So you say, Mawlana, you are Abu Aqil, you are Abu Ubaidullah, so like that. So his name was Abu Ali radiallahu an, and his kunya was Abul Hassan, because his first son was Hassan radiallahu an. So he said, I love this name Aba Turab, because Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave me that. See another lesson there. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, if you want to read about him, subhanallah, go read the book there, Al-Imai Manakibu Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah, and go see. So Ibn Jawzi and all of them, they wrote about him and so forth. Subhanallah, what things happened in his life. They tortured him, they persecuted him, and then when they released him, when the government changed, they brought 800,000 gold coins and silver coins to bribe him. He said, keep it, I don't want nothing from you. And he said, baini wa bainakum yawm al-janaza, the day I pass away, you will see. More than 800,000 people came for Salatul Janazah. 20,000 Jews, Christians, non-Muslims embrace Islam. Yesterday I was teaching the students one hadith from Mishkat Sharif, and the word came Furat and Dijla. I said, when you go one day to Iraq, you must go there. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal is buried there. So the greatest student of Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah. So remember that, is Imam Bukhari's teacher he was. So these are giants we must remember. We must say, mention this incident. Imam Abu Hanifa used to wear a ring. On that ring was engraved, Jirmuhu Swagir wa Jurmuhu Kabir. The size of the tongue is small, the crime it commits is big, you see. So when that wife starts, you understand? Then you must tell her, darling, I think it's time to stop before I give you a vaccine. You understood? So this, then maybe she will stop. You understood? Because when they start, then you must know it's finished. You better walk away. And when the husband starts, then you, wife, you better walk away. Then things will come better. You both want to speak, then it will be war, remember. And then you don't know what you speak, then the husband will give talaq, then you come by us and say it happened in anger. Obviously it would happen in anger. So we all have to realize, we have to make the home, not break the home.
I see a sister in Azadville, Ustad, wants to know that there is a panel of ulama having a program. I think it's this week. And she would like to know, are there for ladies' facilities? Because she says her sheikh will be there as well, Ustad. Who are the ulama that are going for this panel, Ustad?
I don't know, because I saw two messages coming here. So you must remember, I think, that's what I think, because I'm not part really of them, but I think it's under the auspices of Wifaqul Ulama, and it will be this week. This is what is advertised. Even I received it from many people, from Asr to Isha, and so forth. So then there will be Hazrat Mohan Shabir Saluji from Darul Zakaria, Hazrat Mohan Abdul Hamid Sam from Azadwal, and Mufti Ibrahim Salaji from Ispingo Beach, like that, they're all of. So you must remember, that is in Hilal. And whether ladies, I don't think no ladies, you can listen on the that live streaming or whatever. But then I received another message, Durban Muslims or something. And they said, please, this program must be cancelled. You understand? Because the crowd will be too big and there will be big problems, and that the police will come, somebody will come. So whether the program is going ahead or not, I don't know. I'm just telling you what I received. You understood? Because there are many people who are speaking, it must be cancelled, because when you have so many ulama there and famous ulama, then it's obviously the crowd will be very big. And you know that they said 100 people is maximum, and so forth. And among us, you know how some people are, the impimpies. So they will go tell the police, they will go tell this one, that one. So my advice, you are in Azadwal, you say, go ask them there what they say. I'm just telling you what I received and so forth. And whether the program is going on or not, or is canceled, I don't know. So best is you contact all these senior ulama, and then they will tell you whether they're going on or not and so forth.
So Mufti Sahab, after I came to find out he is having an affair, then he started saying, I am not a good wife and he's going to leave me. And I made dua, Mufti Sahab, please, oh my Allah, instead of getting a divorce with 5 children, please take my husband. Take my husband. Not long he passed away, Mufti Sahab. The worries ate him up because he is well known and was ashamed what he did. He and his girlfriend broke my daughter's home. Even anonymous Ustad.
Sister, we don't know who and what, but we answer the questions. We always tell you that we hear one side and we answer it. And we try and give you an answer that is the best from the Quran Sharif and Sunnah Mubarakah. This is an old trick of men. Remember this. They will be guilty. They'll be busy with their secretary. They'll be busy with their PA. They'll be busy with their neighbor's wife. Allah forbid. They'll be busy here and there. And then when they are caught up, then they will make you, the wife, feel guilty. Yes, you didn't want to fulfill my conjugal rights. You didn't want to do this. So therefore, I got involved there. Instead of saying, I am the guilty one, and I ask you for forgiveness, I ask Allah, no. He will turn the thing out. So that is being very, very unfair. And Quran speaks of this in Surah 75, Surah Qiyamah. Balil insanu ala nafsihi basira. Deep down, this human being, he knows he's guilty, 100% guilty. But outwardly, walau alqa ma'adhira. But he will cite and give excuses. Chapter 75, verses 14, 15. See, today what happens to us? 90%, 80%. So we're driving 180, 170, does that? Yeah, the police come out. Say, Baba, how you can drive so fast? I say, Baba, you know what? My grandfather passed away. My grandmother passed away. Then we may say, okay, Lungile, go. You understand? So that somebody tell you, but you are lying. You see, but you're a Maulana. You see, you know all the tricks. You say, no, I told him my grandfather is passing away, passed away. I didn't tell him he passed away now. He passed away in 1960. He passed away in 1970. I didn't lie. But all fairy tales we come with, you understand? We try and justify the wrong things we do. We must remember that and so forth. So that's what your husband did, if what you are telling us is true. You made dua, you are the Muslim, the oppressed person. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ittaqi da'wat al-mazlum, falaysa baynahu wa baynallahi hijab. Between the oppressed person and Allah, there is no curtain, meaning immediately, instantly, almost, your dua will be accepted. Open Musnad Ahmad and that you will find this type of a hadith. Then you went further also. One is you oppressed. Then they, she, he and his girlfriend, according to you. So they broke your daughter's marriage. So all her tears, all her crying. So Allah accepted, now he's gone. So what must you do? What must your daughter do now? So remember, now, la tasubbul amwat. Nabi alayhi salam said, don't speak bad and curse the people who have passed away. For innahum qad afdaw ila ma qaddamu. They already gone to the other side now. Barzakh. So you as a wife, you must read Surah 59, verse number 10. Read Surah 59, verse number 10. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. Oh, beloved Allah, forgive us and forgive our brothers, sisters who passed away before us with Iman. You daughter, you nikah broke, all that, Allah alone knows who's right, who's wrong. You say your father broke it or his lover, girlfriend broke it, whatever it is. But still it's your father, you must read Surah 14, verse 41. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابُ. The more dua you make for him, أَلَّا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. That people did you wrong, but you still make dua, especially that you forgave them, and you make dua, Allah Ta'ala forgive him, Allah will forgive you also more and more, Quran says. So therefore, Beti, you must continue making dua for your father. He passed away, and he's still your father. So, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابُ. Forgive me, forgive my beloved parents and the believers, the day the reckoning is established. Surah 14, verse 41.
Ustad, is a question says here, Mufti Sahib sent a list of, it says here, of rich PIRS Ustad in the UK. Could please Mufti Sahib comment on this matter, Ustad?
So you must remember, somebody sent it to me who's very reliable. He always sends me things. And he sent peer subs. You know, peer subs. So today, peer subs, they take their murids and they take their students for a big ride. So they are, when you have a peer, you have a murshid, you have a sheikh, his aim must be to connect you to Almighty Allah. Ma'al asafi shadid. But remember that the sad part and the tragic thing today, unfortunately, we have to speak the truth, that today majority of the peers of South Africa, Africa, Europe, wherever, America, their eyes are not to connect you to Allah. They want to connect themselves to your wallet. You must remember that. So now they're all in the millions. This peers have got 20 million, this one got 10 million, this one got 5 million, this one got this and so forth. So I'm asking you, that how come your peers have got so rich and those type of things there? So therefore, the peer muridi is good thing when it's done, remember, according Quran and Sunnah. But when you have peer muridi, that the person is good, the ladies are coming, they're kissing his hand, and they are no parda, no hijab, then they can be the biggest peer in your eyes. But in our eyes, in Sharia's eyes, is the biggest shaitan. So you must understand it. Today is not yu'minuna bil ghaib. It's not believing the unseen. It's yu'minuna bil jayb. Use people to enrich yourself. That is what's happening today. Therefore, some ulama have made this comment. Today, the khankas, they say all, but I don't say all, I'll say majority of them are corrupt like you can't believe. You must remember that. So that was to expose that.
Ustad, okay. One more question before we got about 3 minutes left. Can the second wife forego her rights? She just wants to marry. My wife always tells me to get a second wife and begs me. Sometimes I feel I must just give in and get one. What does Mufti advise? He's just reverse psychology, Ustad.
Remember, we don't know what is the problem between you and your wife. So if she tells you, you know what, that you go get married because maybe you're troubling her every second night, every night, and so. So she's tired and retired, old and cold. So she tells you, okay, you better go get married. And if she says she wants to forfeit her right, you don't have to make the turn by her. So Hazrat Sauda radiallahu anha, she gave her turn to Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. So that is permissible. But you cannot now make big eyes, intimidate her and blackmail her and that. No. Willingly, she does it. At any time she wants to revoke it, she says, no, you must come to me. Also, she can do that as well. So my advice to you, brother, look at yourself. Why is your wife telling you that? And so forth, because maybe you're not so fair to her as well. Then maybe when you take second wife, then you'll go from Qiyam into Ruku. You understand? So you must remember this. In Memon, we got a proper word for it. To solve Akobar even. You understand? If you know proper Memon. I speak Memon with Tajweed. So you must remember that you see you walking half in Ruku, brother. So my advice, you just stay in Qiyam. That is better for you. Okay, inshallah, 12 o'clock, we got news with brother Yusuf Ali. And then 12 to 1, inshallah, current affairs today, that Israeli topic is very good. You must see Benjamin Netanyahu. I was telling you the news, 11 o'clock, I heard BBC. They said the opposition has formed the coalition. And inshallah, they don't say inshallah, we say inshallah. That is the end of Benjamin Netanyahu. Amen. And next stop, Trong 2. Inshallah, Allah will dispatch him. That we're making dua like that. So 12 to 1 will be Amin Templeton, inshallah. 1 o'clock, Zohar Azan, 105 to 130 will be Surah Namal, chapter 25 and verses 54 to 59. Inshallah, we're finishing the 19th Jews, inshallah, 19 para. 130 to 2, we go to the archive, Surah Araf, chapter 7, verses 163 to 167. 2 to 3, Maulana Zahid Khan, mashallah, Madrasa on air. 3 to 3:30, the repeat of this morning's Q&A with Maulana Arafat. 3:35 to 5 o'clock, Brother Alamin Templeton. Then 5 to 7, Maulana Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 7:30, the repeat of my tafsir. And 7:30 to 8, Maulana Yunus Patel, Rahimahullah. Then 8 to 10, Brother Shafaat Ahmad Khan. MashaAllah, medical file, you must listen to it with Dr. Farooq Hafeji. Very interesting between 8 and 9. And then 9 to 10 also, you'll carry on. So make dua. And then 10 to 11, Brother Sheikh Al-Anwar Al-Awlaki. So Allah Ta'ala reward, make dua. Allah Ta'ala protect our Palestinians, Masjid Al-Aqsa and Haramain Sharifain. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. There you heard from our beloved Fadilatul Ustad. I like that word, toast of vak or something like that. Up next, the 12 o'clock Jews with Haji Yusuf Ali.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.